You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Cubs baseball on this Monday, May 9th, with Cubs reporter Kerry Muscat. And Kerry, we thank you for the time. And you know, Kerry, it's so easy to talk about all the good with the Cubs, and rightfully so. They are the fastest team with a 30-game start at 24-6 since the Tigers, the juggernaut Tigers of 84. They were 26-4, went on to win the World Series that year. But I decided to take kind of a different approach and kind of go needle in the haystack here and just find something, one thing that maybe is not going perfect for the Cubs right now. And the best thing I could find was when you look at Jake Arrieta, his last four starts, he's walked 14 guys. His first three starts, he walked two. Now, it's really unfair to expect him to be a pitching cyborg every single time he takes the mound. He clearly was not that on Sunday. He is human after all. But, again, the 14 walks in the last four outings, is there at least a little concern here about Arrieta, or maybe not really?
Not really, and I'll tell him that you're nitpicking. he's fine. The problem the last two starts has been a slider. He just his stuff has been so good that he's just had a difficult time controlling it. And that kind of made it really tough on catcher Tim Fedorovich on Sunday when he had his last start. I think some people have come to expect Arrieta to be almost robotic, where he goes out there and just throws, you know, a no-hitter every time out. And we do have to remember that he is human. And I think he's still leading the National League in ERA, so I don't think anybody's going to complain too much. The Cubs have now won his last 20 starts, which is a franchise record, so I don't think anybody's complaining about that. So, again, I just think, you know, he's not a robot, so that's really the only problem.
Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, as I said, we can't expect this guy to be a cyborg every time out, and it's almost refreshing in a way to see that, you know, sometimes he is going to struggle, he is going to be human, and the team will find a way to pull out wins as they did it yesterday in most dramatic fashion. 4-3 in 13 innings, the walk-off by Javier Baez. So the Cubs winning it, whether it's a blowout, close game, one run, extra inning, it doesn't matter. They are finding ways to get Ws, 24 in 30 games so far. And, of course, you know, kind of the talk of the series was Joe Maddon's strategy with Bryce Harper, Kerry, and the strategy was quite simply, we're not going to let this guy beat us. And by God, they did not, as they walked him 13 times in the four-game series. That's a major league record. Harper reached base seven times yesterday without a single at-bat. That's a major league record. So, you know, on one hand, I know the Nationals were a little upset in saying that the Cubs were playing, I think they branded it scared baseball, and that Maddon would not allow his pitchers to challenge Harper. But the way I look at it is, your job is to win games. Maddon's winning games. Bottom line, end of story. So he's doing what he has to do. But having said that, were you a little surprised that, given the firepower that he has at his disposal with the rotation, guys like Arrieta and Lester, Lackey and Hamill and so on, that he wouldn't let his guys, you know, go after Harper and challenge him, and instead employing this strategy to try to work around him, which obviously did work as they swept the four-game series?
No, as you said, you know, they had decided before the series began that they were not going to let Bryce Harper beat them. And they didn't care if he was hot or not. He's the reigning MVP, and he's a very talented young man. And I think in the one inning where he did score from first on a double. And, I mean, just that alone just shows you some of the power that he has. I think what I took from that, which was interesting, at least my take on it, is that you could walk Anthony Rizzo intentionally in a game, and whoever was batting behind him, I almost guarantee you, would come up and fill in the gap. And I think that's what I like so much about the Cubs lineup right now, is that they don't rely on one guy. And I think that to me was the lesson I got out of the four games against the Nationals.
Yeah, I agree in that, you know, you look at the Nats lineup and Harper definitely stands out amongst that nine, and there's multiple standouts in the Cubs lineup. Like you said, you know, you want to bypass Bryant, fine, there's Rizzo. Want to bypass Rizzo, you know, fine, there's someone else right behind him, and on it goes. Such a deep lineup, 1-9. So Joe Maddon, you know, he stuck to his guns, because I believe that once in extra innings, at least once, he walked Harper when first base was occupied. So, I mean, a radical strategy here, We know how good Bryce Harper is, but in the end, it all worked out for the Cubs. Seven straight wins. They sweep the four-game series from a fellow first-place team, the Nationals. They are simply rolling right now. Kerry, one thing I wanted to get your take on in that I checked in on the game periodically here and there, didn't watch the whole 13 innings straight through, but I believe in the seventh inning, Cubs down 3-1, and Maddon had Trevor Cahill hit for himself, which in any other circumstance, you're pulling your pitcher there. You're down two runs, late innings. You got to get a bat in there. Cahill makes Maddon look like a genius. Obviously, he gets a base hit. But what was the thinking before then in letting Cahill hit?
Well, first of all, you said obviously he got a base hit, which is only obvious because I think Maddon should go out and buy Powerball tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, everything the guy does seems to work. What had happened on Sunday's game in the series finale is that they were shorthanded in the bullpen. Maddon did not want to use Pedro Strop or Hector Rondon or Clayton Richard, so he had to keep Cahill in the game, so he had to let him hit. So really that was part of it. Now, Cahill didn't, I don't know if anyone noticed on the Mother's Day, Cahill did not use a pink bat. He told me that the relievers don't get the pink bats because relievers usually don't hit. But he couldn't remember the last time he had an at-bat. I think I had to go back. I don't think he had one at all last year, but I'd have to go search again. But it was, he couldn't even remember the last time he took batting practice. You know, so it just shows you how right now things are going very right for the team, and whatever Joe seems to decide to do, it has worked.
Yeah, I mean, everything he touches is turning to gold right now. And like you said, you know, forced into a scenario where he has to let a light-hitting reliever who rarely bats ever get to the plate in the seventh inning, your team down two. And then later that inning, Chris Bryant, the two-run single to tie it, and then Baez, the winner in the 13th. That was the first walk-off of Javier's career, which was no less a home run to send him home happy. What was his reaction after the game? I got to imagine that, you know, the ultimate dream is to hit a walk-off a la Joe Carter to win the World Series, but when you get your first walk-off hit, period, I imagine a big moment for any young ball player.
Yeah, he was pretty excited. One thing, though, I think fans need to know is that, yeah, the Cubs have won. Now they're 24-6. They celebrate their wins for about, 10 minutes, and then, boom, they move on. And I think that's one of the neat things about the team, too, is that they're not going around here boasting or acting like, they have this big record. Maddon's really focused on the here and now and this day's game. And Javi was more excited because he was going to send the pink bat that he got to his mother as a Mother's Day present. So instead of, it was a really nice way for him to give her a gift that she won't forget.
Yeah, a great gift for her and a great gift for Cubs fans, of course, as they get sent home happy from Wrigley after the walk-off victory. And going back to Joe Maddon, Kerry, you said, this is a guy that, after wins, let's not get too high. After losses, let's not get too low. Maintain that even keel all throughout the year. Is he of the line of thinking that, sometimes you hear this in sports, that if a team is doing so well, that you really don't know what you have in a team and a team's makeup and their character until they hit some adversity. So outside of the Kyle Schwarber season-ending injury, is there that thought process that, this team at some point, they have to hit some hurdle, some obstacle to really know what kind of character and metal this team has?
No, I don't think they need any more. Seriously, if you look at them, Their regular catcher is injured and on the disabled list, and they didn't skip a beat with that. Matt Caesar went down, who had been really a key player off of the bench. That hasn't been a problem. Schwarber goes down, and yeah, they missed him, but that test was so early. I think they've overcome that. Yeah, the Cubs know that they're going to have a rough stretch. There's going to be a time when they're going to lose a couple games in a row, even though they have not won back. They have not lost back-to-back games so far, which is hard to believe. But they know there's going to be some speed bumps along the way. They're not going to win every single game. But I think, again, and I've said this before in the podcast, this is really just a continuation from last year. There's a lot of confidence in the guys. There's a lot of there's a really good feeling among the players. There's a really good chemistry. You can't overrate it with this young club, and I think that's what keeps them going.
Yeah, not only the success between the foul lines, but those intangibles that are so valuable that create the chemistry to lead to success. The Cubs have that in spades here in 2016. Kerry, to wrap up quickly, a great article on Cubs.com about Addison Russell, who I didn't realize is already a husband and a dad at the tender age of 22, and a great Mother's Day article, and he discussed how the lessons he learned from his mom, he's applying to his life as a professional and as a dad, as a father, husband too. Just kind of talk about that a little bit for us.
Well, Addison, he is 22 and he is very young, but his parents were very young when they had him as well, and he's the oldest of, I think, four kids in his family, and he had to do a lot to sort of help sort of take care of his siblings. And his mother, Melanie, told him her advice was to make sure that you protect your marriage, make sure that you you kind of watch it grow. And I think he's really applied that well. He and his wife, Melissa, are just adorable together, and their baby's just really precious, Aiden. And it's a lot to handle. It's a lot to handle at a young age, but I think because he's grown up so, for lack of a better word, for street smart, I think it's really he can handle it.
Yeah, he's handled it well, and he continues to be one big part of that Cubs team, which is on a roll. Understatement of the podcast: 24-6 on this entering this Monday night as the San Diego Padres come to town to kick off a series at Wrigley Field. Great stuff again from Kerry Muscat, MLB.com Cubs reporter. Kerry, thank you for the time. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extra Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.